Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Anything goes with you here tonight. You've got Ian, Riley,
and nobody.
And Riley is joining us all the way from Utah. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. It's nice to be back in New Hampshire. I've been looking forward to coming back for a while now. I'm happy to be back.
Been here for a few days now. You went out to a court hearing or court trial that we had yesterday that I touched on briefly last night, but I know you had some things to say about it, so we'll get into that coming up here. But nobody, you actually brought in an interesting story tonight that I had not even heard about. This was going on. I knew about the Twitter files. I knew that, and we reported on a lot of these when they came out. They started in, I think, November, December, that time frame. It was shortly after Elon Musk took over operation of Twitter when he bought the company. They began to release a series of what they called the Twitter files through a few journalists, two or three different journalists that I presume Elon Musk hand selected and said, here you go.
He actually selected a woman named Barry Weiss.
Okay.
And she reached out apparently to Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about these guys to me is they're all leftists.
Oh, really?
And
that's
so,
really interesting because, you know, the Twitter files talk about the Hunter Biden laptop and things like that. Usually leftists don't want to talk about
that. Taibbi's a leftist? I thought he was like a right-wing guy. No?
No, no, no. They're all generally leftists. They're kind of Glenn Greenwald spectrum.
People,
but or at least so I believe. That's my general impression of them.
At the very least, I know Greenwald used to be a leftist. Now he seems like he's a critic of the left.
Well, that's the thing, is there is this segment of the left that is becoming critical of the left because they are seeing the excesses.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing leftists, as they get power, behaving just the way that rightists do when they have power. Because, of course, we know it's not the part of the political spectrum you come from that corrupts.
It's the power, power that power corrupts. Yeah, absolutely. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Well, it's refreshing to hear that people on either side are able to actually see clearly what's going on their own side. Usually these people have blinders on. They can see clearly the other side's corruption.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The other side's hypocrisy.
They can point out the other side's corruption all day, but they don't look at themselves.
Well, that's what I really enjoyed about some of the news sources that I started paying attention to during the pandemic. There's a group called The Hill, which does a show called Rising, that had people from all over the political spectrum. Like, there's a guy who writes for Reason, and there's a former Bernie Sanders woman, and then there's another group called Breaking Points, where they're breaking with the orthodoxy and saying, look, just because these bastards are our bastards doesn't mean they get to be bastards.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that integrity.
It's refreshing to have some integrity with people these days.
It really is.
So the Twitter files started to be released. It was like one a week, basically one revelation per week, or maybe even more often than that. A lot of them came through. Mm-hmm. And to summarize them, I mean, we found out that there was indeed, I mean, as many people speculate, a lot of this was just confirmation of what people had speculated for some time.
We knew
that
they were doing it.
So some of the things that were confirmed was that Twitter was indeed shadow banning people, that they had various different ways of putting accounts into various different sorts of shadow bans. That was more of a technical aspect of it. But then the information started to get released that Twitter was actually helping the federal government, the FBI, and I think some other agencies as well.
Like 100 agencies. Mm-hmm. I mean, every gang of monsters within the federal government had a direct line into Twitter.
Now, there was, to be fair to the people who were running Twitter at that time, there was some pushback in some of the messages I saw. Like, they didn't do everything the feds wanted them to do, but they did a lot that the feds wanted them to do, which was do things like ban people for, you know, expressing an opinion that was contrary to the accepted narrative of a particular election or that sort of thing. So they haven't revealed in these files any, like, national security secrets, right? Like, there hasn't been this hasn't been Edward Snowden level.
The only secret that that's within it is that most people, I think, thought that Twitter was just run by leftists, and therefore they were trying to silence anyone who disagreed with them. I don't think most people knew that it was a direct government conspiracy to cover up the truth, to rig elections.
One example being that
these things, this is illegal because when the government is doing it, all of a sudden the First Amendment applies. It does not apply. It would not apply if Twitter was doing these things on their own. But this is literal fascism because, you know, famously, Mussolini said that fascism is better described as corporatism because it is a blend of state and corporate power. That's exactly what you've got here.
And I think they're skirting around. I mean, you point out that this is a violation of freedom of speech, a violation of the First Amendment. I think they would argue that, oh, well, no, we didn't violate anyone's First Amendment. We just told Twitter that we believed, and this would be the government's goons here, we believed that there were accounts that were violating their terms of service. So we simply brought that to Twitter's attention, and Twitter could do with that what they please. So they weren't ordered
to. But that doesn't pass the smell test for even a moment, because there is video of them threatening Twitter, threatening Facebook,
really?
Threatening everybody, literally in front of Congress. They were dragged before Congress and told that if they did not silence dissent, that they would lose their ability to do business.
I would like to hear
the section 238 or whatever section number that is would be revoked.
Really?
And that means you can no longer publish things that you disagree with.
That happened before Elon took over, is what you're saying?
That was before Elon took over. So basically, why did they acquiesce? Well, partially because they were told that their entire business would be taken down if they did not dance to the terrorists' tune.
I'd like to hear this video because I want to hear it for myself. I mean, it sounds believable to me based on my biases, but at the same time, I want to hear these government people talk about these threats. I want to actually hear them for my own self so that I can verify that story.
Because I don't think we have that clip tonight.
We don't have that clip queued, but it was definitely filmed. They had, they were literally testifying before Congress.
Interesting. And you're referring to Section 230, which is the law that essentially protects platforms from liability for what their users post.
Otherwise, they can be sued for anything that anybody says on their platform.
Which is insane.
Which means they cease to exist. Which, at one time, I said, well, that would probably be a good thing, because it would be wonderful if Twitter ceased to exist. But
it expands way beyond just Twitter. That expands to any website that allows for user posting. That could be a comment section. That can be a forum. That could be, it could be this show, right? Like, it could be people calling into Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
Right? So these Twitter files came out, and it got to the point, at least for me personally, where I was exhausted. I mean, we reported on the first several of these that came out, and they just kept on coming with example after example of how the federal government goons were contacting the Twitter people and demanding that they do X, Y, or Z. To some extent or another, they would be successful with their demands. And it just got to the point where it was like, okay, I get it. I get you guys have made this pretty clear. I don't need to really see any more evidence. So at some point, I kind of tuned out of it. Nobody, were you following this thing all the way through? Like, how deep did you follow this?
I more or less did the same. I understood the broad strokes.
Right.
And I didn't need to know necessarily the details. I paid enough attention to know what exactly they were trying to cover up and what lies they were trying to push.
Right.
You know, there was a group at Stanford that was very interesting called the Virality Project. And their job was to lie about accounts being Russian bots, and it turned out that all of the people they said were Russian bots were just like human Twitter supporters or human Trump supporters. You know, you have.
Were they working for the state, this project, do you think?
Well, they were at Stanford University, so they were. So, yeah, that's a state institution.
Funded through the, yeah, okay.
But they kind of pretend not to be state. Mm-hmm. They have that plausible deniability, you know, plausible to people who don't know what's going on. They covered up. They were working to cover up vaccine information, including acknowledged true information that they thought would cause vaccine hesitancy. So it was not, despite their lies, it was not a matter of covering up misinformation or disinformation. It was about what they call malinformation, which is true things that we don't want people to know.
Right, and Twitter was definitely a part of covering that stuff up. I mean, they were banning people left and right for posting alternative views from the scientific community about COVID.
And they banned, I remember when Elon Musk first took over, I was posting every day. I was posting a tweet to Elon Musk saying, "Where is Dr. Malone?" who was a doctor, an esteemed cardiologist, who was banned from Twitter for telling the truth.
And didn't they bring him back?
They did bring him back.
Robert Malone, I think, was the name.
Yeah, Robert Malone. They did bring him back. It took them a couple weeks, and I was posting to Elon every day, like, "Hey, you said free speech. This is egregious."
I do want to bring up one point. We were talking about vaccine hesitancy for a second, and, you know, some people don't want to have vaccines forced on them. And I realize that, you know, in an age of a pandemic, that when a vaccine is presented to you, it may be good to take one or it may not be good to take one. It should be the person's choice to take one. That being said, my concern with the vaccines wasn't that vaccines were available. It was the fact that only two or three companies could produce this vaccine. And that, to me, spoke of, you know, the government wanting to give certain corporations power, and the corporations definitely benefited from, you know, the pandemic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the things that Rand Paul has pointed out and harangued frequently Dr. Fauci about is Dr. Fauci and the NIS people don't disclose what kind of kickbacks they get from the pharmaceutical industry. Mm-hmm. So it's possible and likely that they were very well paid to sell out the American people and to push lies on them, and lies that have caused a lot of people to die. Because
there's a lot of questionable deaths going on out there.
Yeah, it may well be that that if you're older, the vaccine was a good idea, but there's a lot of young 18-year-old kids who are dying of myocarditis.
But is that attributable to the
vaccine?
That
was one of the lies
though?
For Twitter, is they were trying to cover up myocarditis and the fact that the vaccine causes it.
But here's the question, nobody. Do we have direct evidence that it's actually the vaccine causing all this?
No. Yes, that's okay. Been conceded even by the most monstrous of the public health authorities.
Wait. Causing people to die in mysterious circumstances? I don't think you can prove that because correlation isn't causation.
Right.
Well, they know that it causes myocarditis, and that's why it's been... many European countries have withdrawn them from the market. The U.S. authorities have actually approved the vaccine, but the vaccine they approved is about one quarter as concentrated as the vaccine that they were giving out.
Where did you find that information? I'd like to know where I could find it
on,
as well.
On Twitter. Okay. The thing is, recently, obviously you have to sort through things yourself and find out what's true and isn't true, but... if you want a distant early warning about new things that are being discovered, Twitter is the place.
Yeah, I gotta hand it to Twitter. As far as social media platforms go, it is one of the most useful ones out there. I mean, it's addicting like any other social media platform. But I remember when I was finally getting tired of being on Facebook, I realized that for all the scrolling that I did on Facebook, I very rarely found anything useful. I very rarely found any kind of something I could talk about on the show or whatever. Like nothing at all. It was just bunch of people arguing with one another. But on Twitter, I do find a lot of things that are of use, like things that we can discuss. And so I do have to give them credit for that. And I have to give Elon Musk credit for, I think, improving the platform since he's taken it over. It isn't perfect. He isn't perfect. He has stated, for instance, that he will not unban Alex Jones because he didn't like what Alex Jones said about the shooting down in Connecticut. Which, he went to court over and sadly lost.
You know, I gotta say, Alex Jones was pretty silly to take the position that he did because he took the position that these shootings were faked. Why would the federal government fake a shooting when they have no problem actually murdering whole villages full of children? Yeah. It's much easier to MK Ultra up a killer and set him loose on innocence.
Then
and
hire a bunch of crisis actors.
Or fund proxy wars like the war in Afghanistan and Iraq and Ukraine.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another proxy war. It's just being fought against the American people and specifically against the right to keep and bear arms. And if you read a book from the 70s called On a Pale Horse, it's predicted.
But it's clear that Musk isn't the free speech advocate, or that
he's not an absolutist.
Yeah, he's not an absolutist, and he claimed that he is. So again, it's his platform; he can do whatever he wants. We do have our own platform, of course. You can go and join it over at social.freetalklive.com. And
have you sent Alex Jones an email and said, "Yeah, if you wanna be on our Mastodon, you're welcome"?
I have not. I don't have Alex's email. There was a time that I tried to reach out to his producers because we have had him on the show, but it's been like a decade since we had him on. So it's not as though we haven't had communications with them. But the last time I tried to reach out, I was actually traveling to Austin for a Bitcoin conference. Mm-hmm. And I figured, I'll be in the neighborhood. I'll see if he wants to do an interview or something like that. Of course, I was inviting him on Free Talk Live as well. And I just didn't hear back from them.
So, okay.
That's about as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to try to beat down somebody's door. If they're not going to respond, then that's fine.
Sure.
So there's an update here that you wanted to talk about tonight with the Twitter file situation, nobody, because there's been a ton of these Twitter files released. They have revealed things that the federal government gang would not like you to know about. But it wasn't per
That's
se...
That's now information.
But it wasn't, like, you know, illegal for them to reveal this information. These weren't national security orders. They didn't receive the national security letter that orders you to be silent, or if you say anything about the fact that you've gotten this letter, then you go to prison. You know, those weren't the secrets that were being revealed. It was just simply emails that were sent in, but in many cases, by federal agents requesting that Twitter do certain things, requesting that Twitter ban certain people, and it's embarrassing. But it's not like, you know, this isn't Edward Snowden level secrecy kind of stuff that got revealed. It's you know, it's important. It's definitely interesting. People need to know about it, and I'm glad that it happened. But still, despite the fact that it wasn't Snowden level, they're targeting these guys. The federal government scumbags are going after these journalists that released the Twitter files.
And that indicates to me that, I mean, there's a vast trove of this information that has not been entirely explored. If they're still threatening them, that says to me that it's quite likely that there are things hidden in the bowels of Twitter that might expose actual war crimes and that kind of thing. Because remember, you don't go to prison for committing war crimes. You go to prison for exposing war crimes.
Yeah, you end up in Argentina if you committed the war crimes, or Brazil or something like that.
Or in Texas. George Bush suffered no consequences. He's still invited to all the best dinner parties.
Right, worst that happened in was
they
someone...
got to invite their favorite war criminals, not the ones that are spreading supposed secrets on the internet, but, you know, like you said, nobody, they're not really secrets, but it's also alternative information to what we were told during the pandemic. And, you know, some people don't like quote-unquote misinformation, or even misinformation that may not be true, but I really think it comes down to personal responsibility. You've got to be willing to do your own research and not rely on either the government's narrative or someone else's narrative on the internet, because some people are not telling you the truth on the internet. They may sound like conspiracy nuts, and they might be conspiracy nuts. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you know, there are thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people every year convicted of the crime of conspiracy in U.S. courts. So if there are never conspiracies, that means that there is a massive conspiracy to convict innocent people of the crime of conspiracy.
I'm one of them.
Which invalidates that premise. So some conspiracies are real.
Absolutely. So they're going after Twitter files journalist Matt Taibbi, apparently, one of, and maybe the other ones as well, but specifically a Democratic delegate to Congress has apparently threatened, this according to the New York Post, Taibbi with up to 5 years in prison for purportedly lying under oath when he testified before Congress last month. And, you know, this has always upset me, the whole idea that these Congress scum can just summon you in front of them and question you about things. And, you know, it makes me wonder what would happen to somebody who was just like, I don't recall. Just doesn't answer
questions.
Well,
Oliver North was that guy, actually, during the Iran-Contra affair. And nothing, he actually did end up going to prison.
There's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The wait has been narrowed down with the anticipated decision on access to the commonly used abortion pill, mifepristone. The Supreme Court ruling is due before midnight Eastern. The ruling comes after the court extended a temporary stay on a Texas federal judge ruling to halt production and distribution of the drug, which was originally approved by the FDA in 2000. President Biden taking steps to curb pollution affecting low-income and minority communities.
We have to commit ourselves to action. Will we step up to our ambitions? Will we stand together to meet the great challenges we have? Will we preserve our planet for future generations?
The president signed an executive order earlier today directing federal agencies to focus more on environmental justice initiatives. The Hawks will host the Boston Celtics in NBA playoff action tonight. Dave Collins, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Riley, and nobody here in the studio tonight. And of course, you can join us. We're going to go to your phone calls, but we still have more to say on this news about the Twitter Files journalist being targeted by the government thieves in the federal gang. We'll tell you more about that story coming up here. I got a video, nobody, that you thought was worthy of sharing, so we'll share that coming up. But first, we have Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Nobody, and Riley.
What's on your mind?
Well, I want to make a quick statement. I've been needing to make this since Tuesday, but I kept ending the call. Yeah, despite our issues, Ricky from the Commonwealth wanted to wish Sister Aria, you know, luck on her sentencing coming up. And I hope it comes out really good for her.
That's very kind, Ricky. But what were you calling about tonight?
Well, you piqued my interest last night, you know, when it came up about, say, somebody like Ricky from the Commonwealth, and you mentioned that you only wanted libertarian activists to move to New Hampshire. Not that I have intentions of moving, but regardless of that.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I mean, here's the way I see it. I mean, a little bit about myself, first of all. An activist? Yeah, I guess at times I have been, you know, whether it be protests that I've been the head of or other forms of activism, things like that. But when it comes to my social political views, you know, I am what I consider a Confederate Democrat. I used to use old school Democrat.
But what do you mean by Confederate Democrat, Ricky? How would you define
that? Well, I'll tell you what that means. Here's where I come to conclusion. I mean, I'm a bit of a throwback as far as my social political views and ideology. Well, you know, I'm basically more or less a Jeffersonian when it comes to my view on constitutionality as a person. But besides that, as far as my social political views, I'm a throwback. You know, something about maybe 150 years ago or so, with some new elements thrown in.
That didn't really answer the question.
Yeah, that didn't answer my question. I want to know what you mean by a Confederate Democrat. How would you
define... What exactly are these views? I mean, do you think slavery is a good idea, I guess, would be the first question that begs.
I think if you look back at the beginning of this country when they decided to keep slavery and reform it, I think slavery, if you look at the form of, like, say, a job today is actually worse when it comes to...
No, it's actually
like
not
that.
Worse
what?
Than slavery.
Really?
Okay. How would you demonstrate that a job today is worse than slavery? If I were employed by an employer, I'm not forced to give them 100% of my time.
That's inaccurate. I don't know, Riley. You're inaccurate about that. The fact of the matter is, you work 10 hours a day, you know, and I heard somebody on the news complaining about that. Now, the fact of the reality is, I come from a long line of farmers. And, you know, you always work 10 hours a day from sun up to sun down, you know, and you only got a certain percentage of money, but you know what? You got 2/3 the amount of everybody else, but you were also tax-free. Your food was paid for. And on top of that, so was your housing. You know?
You're talking about being a slave.
Now, I'm saying you could apply that today, and, you know, it could be reformed. And, you know, it would be a better deal than for a job.
Okay, but, Ricky, you couldn't leave.
As a slave, you could not leave your quote-unquote master.
What mechanism can you possibly think that if they had people that could not choose to leave, that they would not be mistreated? Because absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so even if people started out with a better deal, I've got a whole sentence here coming, bro. So let me finish it before you start talking. Absolutely no justifiable reason to think that if people had a captive audience that could not leave, that they, even if that audience started out with a better deal, that deal would not become worse. Because once you have deprived people of choice, you can do whatever you want to them.
Okay, now if I may respond to that.
You may.
Now, take, for example, people that were under contract. Now, there were many examples of that. When your contract is up, you could either A, renew your contract or not. There's been plenty of examples where people have ran two contracts, you know, and then decided to go. Or their master let them out of the contract because it was in their best interest. Life slavery was not something that was popular in the South. They knew better because life slavery has a ton of obvious pitfalls why you wouldn't want to do that with someone.
Okay, so I don't know if that was really an answer to what nobody was saying, but it sounds like you're referring to indentured servitude when you talk about contracts.
Yeah, you're referring to people who have a choice.
That goes on today. We're under contract still. You know, I mean...
Okay, but contract is not slavery.
Look what happened after the Civil War, if I may nobody. What happened to these same people, most of the people that were slaves didn't even want to leave. I mean, the reality is they had to go, because here's the deal they were offered. You have no home. You have no food. You have no money. Go get a job. Plus, you're going to get taxes. So what choice do they have now? Unfortunately, they're going to do what they have to do to survive. So now what happens is these same people are going to commit crimes like stealing chickens and whatever. Now they get used as a technicality, taken out of prisons, to use for what do they call that? You know what I mean? When they rebuilt the South, what is the word I'm looking for?
Reconstruction.
Yeah. I mean, think about that.
Ricky.
Now, this could be applied. I thought about weed plantations. I've talked
Hold on, man. Before you go on. We need to address the thing that nobody was trying to say here a moment ago, and that is that if you're talking about indentured servitude, if you're talking about contracts, you're no longer talking about slavery. And earlier you were advocating for slavery, which is it?
Yes, but see, if you look into it, Brother Ian, when it came after the British and, you know, the beginnings of this country, they were looking at it, should we or should we not keep slavery? Because slavery was, they were doing terrible things. But they decided to do it for economic reasons. Plus, what are we going to do with these people? And what they decided to do was reform it. That's where the idea of keeping slavery, and then they had the idea of contracts was started and stuff like that. Now, did everybody do contracts? No, but that was something very popular in the North, life slavery. You know, I wouldn't do life slavery because it's stupid. Because say you got somebody that was a slave that was no good. Or that was bad, or just was a terrible worker. You couldn't get rid of them.
Oh, I'm sure they had their ways.
If you're a slavery enthusiast, we still have the penitentiaries, and they operate as plantations now. So just get yourself thrown in prison, and you can be a slave.
But just to be clear here, Ricky, you're talking about, you said you support bringing back slavery. I mean, you can also say you support bringing back indentured servitude, and that's a whole other story.
Well,
but
yeah, I would say indentured servitude.
Okay, so now you're changing your story.
So not chattel slavery.
Well, indentured servitude is slavery. It is slavery.
Not really.
No, it's actually not because you have a choice. Okay, slaves were caught. They were caught, they were kidnapped, and they were told that this is what you are going to do, and if you don't do what you are told, we are going to enact physical violence against you until you either die or change your mind. So slavery was like being governed. You didn't have a choice. Indentured servitude was something where you could enter into a contract, and it was a completely different thing because you had a choice to enter into that contract. And if you considered that contract to be a bad deal, then you wouldn't enter into it. Now, of course, you could bait and switch somebody. The other thing is indentured servants were considered human under the law. So Dred Scott did not apply to them, but Dred Scott applied to slaves. And so basically Dred Scott said slaves are not human. They do not have the right to sue, to be sued. They do not have the right to own property. So it's a very different thing than what, for example, some of the Irish experienced. Even people who were transported as convicts were not treated in the horrific way that chattel slaves were treated.
Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. We had just, in the earlier part of the show, started talking about the Twitter files. And apparently they're now targeting some of the Twitter files journalists, demanding that they appear before Congress and talk about, I don't know, the Twitter files, I presume. I didn't watch any of the hearings. I didn't even know until tonight that this was going on. Apparently in the midst of these hearings, Stacey Plaskett, who's a Democrat from the Virgin Islands, made a threat against Matt Taibbi, the Twitter files journalist.
I don't think those islands are really virgins.
Accusing, considering who was living there, probably not. Accusing the Racket News journalist of contradicting his congressional testimony about Twitter in a subsequent interview with MSNBC host Mehdi Hasan, according to a copy of the letter obtained by independent reporter Lee Fang. Hasan invited Taibbi onto his show after his March 9th testimony before the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. I mean, it sounds like they're repeating themselves there. on which
the federal government is a weapon.
Exactly.
Of or which can be used as a weapon.
Sure. Plaskett is the ranking member about his reporting on Twitter's collusion with the federal government to silence dissent online. In his testimony, Taibbi said executives at Twitter took orders from nonprofits such as the Election Integrity Partnership and government agencies such as the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, about which tweets should be censored. The 53-year-old said in his opening statement, quote, effectively, news media became an arm of a state-sponsored thought policing system. We learned Twitter, Facebook, Google, and other companies developed a formal system for taking in moderation, quote-unquote, requests from every corner of government, the FBI, DHS, HHS, DOD, the Global Engagement Center at the State Department, and even the CIA, he said. But Hassan accused Taibbi of conflating the CISA with a private nonprofit, the Center for Internet Security, to falsely argue the government agency had colluded with Twitter. Taibbi admitted to mistaking one for the other in a tweet, but has not said anything about his congressional testimony. I mean, this is the best they have, that he got an acronym wrong?
And that's supposed to be perjury.
Wow.
Which now perjury normally, for one thing, it has to be relevant to the case.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be like something with the potential to change the outcome of the case.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know how that applies to congressional testimony. It also has to be deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe something and say it and you're wrong, that's not perjury. Witnesses are not required to have perfect information.
Right. Everyone knows that's not true with
exactly.
Witnesses.
Right. Eyewitnesses are definitely not as reliable as we think they are.
Plaskett, in her letter, told Taibbi that he had spread misinformation in, quote, alleging that CISA, a government entity, was working with the EIP to have posts removed from social media, she said, and then further saying, quote, while these inaccuracies may seem minor to you, they could lead Congress to rely on inaccurate testimony in considering and or passing new legislation which would impact all Americans. In light of the potential of such serious consequences, I would like to offer you the opportunity to correct your statements before the panel, she said. Well, what exactly would Congress do about this anyway? I mean, it's not like they're going to throw the FBI under the bus or Department of Homeland Security or the CIA. I mean, these guys are protected. They're not going to pass some law that says that
This is a deep state. They can get rid of the politicians easier than the politicians can get rid of them.
Yeah. Democrat concluded her letter by reminding Taibbi he had signed a form prior to the hearing affirming under the penalty of perjury that his testimony was true, quote, to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief, which, of course, is the out, right? Like, that was the best of his information. That was the best of his knowledge.
Right.
He made a mistake.
Right.
A mistake anyone can make.
Yeah.
The Democrat.
Consuming. And these guys have thousands of alphabet soup agencies. That, you know, who knows whether the difference between NIH and NIHID and NIHOH
and I'm sure,
whatever.
You know, and I'm sure being in front of a panelist of Congress people can be a little nerve-wracking at times because these are the government people that could affect your business, that could affect your livelihood as a journalist. And, you know, if it's accurate that they got an accurate acronym wrong, then that's not perjury, in my opinion.
Testifying before terrorists would certainly be terrifying.
This woman, Plaskett, who is apparently, because she's not in the, she's in the U.S. Virgin Islands, which isn't a state, so she doesn't actually get a vote, but she's leading this particular Congress committee. She allegedly referred to Taibbi and his fellow reporter, Michael Schellenberger, during the hearing as so-called journalists and demanded they reveal their sources during the tense hearing. Well, isn't their source Twitter? I mean, that's not hard to figure out.
Well, I mean, one of their sources was Twitter, but one of the reasons that they needed journalists to do this, as I understand it, is to go through and say, okay, we have this information from Twitter. Let's find out how much of it is true. Let's find out more. Let's find out what was going on here.
Well, I think it would be hard to verify it as true, right? Because the federal gang isn't going to admit that they sent those emails. They're just not going to comment. And if these journalists reach out to them, they're just not going to get a response.
That's probably true, but I assume that there would be facts that could be checked. For example, if the government says this thought must not be permitted, one thing that you would want to do that isn't going to be present in the Twitter files is find out whether that is an actual fact that they're suppressing, or whether it's a lie that they're suppressing, or whether it's
like the Hunter Biden
an unknown.
Like the Hunter Biden.
We know that the Hunter Biden thing was true.
Right.
And they suppressed it because they didn't want people to know the truth because they were rigging the election.
So Schellenberger, Michael Schellenberger, was one of these journalists that did release some of the Twitter files, and he has posted to his Twitter today, at Schellenberger, a video that is addressing the situation where they're threatening Matt Taibbi with prison over this. He says they're fighting back and they want to dismantle the censorship industrial complex and bury its parts deep underground. So here's what he has to say.
Last month, Matt Taibbi and I testified to Congress about the existence of a censorship industrial complex. The night before, the U.S. government's Federal Trade Commission sent an extraordinary letter to Twitter owner Elon Musk.
The first FTC letter to Twitter after the first set of Twitter files, the very first question was, who are the journalists you're talking to?
Demanding that he, quote, identify all journalists involved in the reporting of the Twitter files. Then, at the very moment that members of Congress were accusing Matt and me of being fake journalists...
This isn't just a matter of what data was given to these so-called journalists before us now.
An IRS agent visited Matt's home. They still haven't explained why. Happily, the attacks backfired. The members of Congress went too far. And their deliberate or accidental use of sexual innuendos...
So you're in this as a threesome?
...made them a laughingstock on social media. But it turns out that they weren't done.
His answer was brilliant. He said,
cut that.
He said, oh, there's a lot more people involved than that.
ago, I heard from a whistleblower that the censorship industry would shortly retaliate against us. It turned out that at that very moment, MSNBC host Mehdi Hasan was berating Matt Taibbi on air.
The man who used to gleefully heap abuse on the outrage industrial complex on Fox now appears regularly on that very propaganda network he once so wonderfully lampooned.
Shortly after, Hasan and a chorus of others in the mainstream news media falsely claimed that they had debunked the Twitter files. Now, the same member of Congress who called us so-called journalists is threatening Taibbi with prison time for supposedly lying to Congress. Representative Stacey Plaskett sent Matt a letter that recycles the same false MSNBC allegations that we debunked and ends by saying he could face 5 years imprisonment. Never in my life have I seen members of Congress threaten an expert witness with prison time. For the record, Matt's statements were accurate. A small error was made in a tweet, and as soon as Matt learned of it, he corrected it, as all ethical journalists would do. And now Lee Fong, formerly of The Intercept and now writing at Substack, has thoroughly debunked MSNBC's claims. What's more, Fong discovered that Hasan has repeatedly engaged in dis and misinformation himself, including plagiarism.
MSNBC host Mehdi Hasan authored a column in defense of spanking children, No Harm in Smacking, that is nearly a word-for-word duplication of the article When to Spank, published 2 years earlier in U.S. News and World Report.
The bottom line is this.
I'm not familiar with this Hasan guy. I've only heard about him recently.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him either. I don't know if anyone else knows him. If you know, 603-283-6160 is the phone number.
Sounds like he's just another talking head on MSNBC.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him before I saw his interaction with Matt Taibbi, and he seemed like one of these gotcha guys.
Another tool.
Just another monster. Mm-hmm. Not a real journalist.
Files blew the lid off the censorship industrial complex, and its leaders are retaliating, not just to scare us off, but to scare away other journalists.
Yeah, you're damn right.
But here's the thing. They don't scare us. They energize us.
Thank goodness.
Okay, I mean, if the government doesn't scare you, you don't understand the situation. But
but I do appreciate this particular viewpoint from journalists, right? Because they've been going after journalists for a very long time. I mean, they're going after Julian Assange right now.
Oh yeah.
For
14 years he's been locked up now. Isn't it?
Not quite. I think it's. You might be right. It may be close.
Including his embassy time. And
because
he was locked up there. He just wasn't, he was a lot safer than he is in Belmarsh Prison, which is where they house the worst of the worst, except for those who are in Parliament and Windsor Castle.
So just to refresh everyone's mind, who is Julian Assange and what was he in prison for?
Julian Assange was the head of a group called WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks existed to allow whistleblowers to get their stories out. It was, I believe, a dark web entity, or at least on the back end where they received information. They could receive it through the dark web. They published on the front end, on the regular web, as I understand it. And he was part of exposing U.S. war crimes in Iraq. And he cooperated with Snowden. With Manning.
Chelsea Manning.
With Bradley Manning, who subsequently became Chelsea Manning, possibly because actually trans, possibly they did something to her in prison. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but she says she wants to be called Chelsea now, so I'll go with that. They were exposing U.S. military people who were killing journalists for fun.
Mm-hmm. And other innocent people.
Innocents. Journalists, I believe, are specifically protected by the rules of war, whereas civilians are considered just expendable garbage by the governments of the world. So by their rules, it makes a difference. By my rules, it doesn't. Murdering a human is just murdering a human. So he was, first they falsely accused him of rape. Then as he was trying they tried to extradite him from wherever he was. He was running around the country running around the world because they were after him. They accused him falsely of rape to try and get him.
And they're still trying to get him. They're trying to extradite him to face, I believe, up to 170 years behind bars here in the United States for a crime that, he's never set foot in the United States. He's not from here. He's never visited here. But yet they say that he has to be held to some sort of account for reporting the truth. We can talk more coming up here. Hour 2 is next.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.